I'm going to stumble over.
What was the phrase that the engineer used? Like a memorandum of...
To what, Marcus?
Yeah, what did Marcus...
Memorandum of understanding?
It wasn't that. It was something like that. It was where we would write like all these things that we liked, and it would be a formal letter.
I didn't jot anything like that down from last meeting.
I did. Well, let me just come at it from another direction.
Yeah, let's begin.
We talked to Marcus about how capital improvements, particularly on large...
A guidance document is what I had in my notes.
Some sort of guidance document. He had a phrase for it. It rolled off his tongue like after 20 minutes of us going back and forth. But when the county has a big project that covers a significant amount of land in which... You know, an architect or an engineer, you have to hire a consultant to develop the site. And that can be redevelopment of existing land or any development of land in general. Yeah, so I'm coming at it. My background is in, I have some background in site engineering, and I was basically barking up the low impact development tree.
Yeah.
That had a lot to do with stormwater, but there are all kinds of things that this board would be concerned with that has to do with how a consultant that the county hires would approach a site development project. So any designer, the consultant, if you're looking from his point of view, if you're asking for a building, it has to go on a piece of land, like that's one constraint. Okay, we need to program this space. But it needs parking, and we have rules we have to follow from either the county or the municipality or the state. So beyond that, like what instruction is the county giving that consultant about how to shape the site? Because it's not, there is an art to it. Like you design something based on the constraints you're given. So those constraints don't have to be hard rules. They could be things like, you know, something as simple as we prefer above ground stormwater detention as opposed to below ground. You know, we could list off reasons why we think that's a better thing for the county to have. And there's all kinds of things like that you could hand over to an architect, and it would kind of take it into account, and be like, oh, then maybe we should site this here as opposed to, you know, it's a takes the program on the whole to incorporate that, and that's in the architect's head. So we got caught in an eddy about ordinances and rules and stuff. But
because there's a lot to that,
for sure. And that's not really the tree I was barking up, and I don't think that's what we were proposing, any sort of ordinance changes or anything.
Yeah.
But some sort of.
I think you know. The purpose of this committee is to advise the county commissioners about environmental policy. I mean, I think you're well within your scope to produce a document that says we prefer stormwater be, you know, collected on site in stormwater ponds as opposed to stormwater catchment basins or whatever. There are a lot of things going on. That one thing that you probably just need to think about, because while it is true that we do lots of major capital projects, it's also conversely true that most of the buildings we build are for other people. So when we build Hendersonville High School or the Innovative High School or Edneyville Elementary, the people who are giving their preference on the front end are the people with whom we are building the building for. Does that make sense? And naturally, we have competing interests.
How so?
Our interest is the protection of the taxpayers' money.
Funds, yeah.
And their interest...
It's servicing the people that use
is
the
program. Is their desire for capital projects of large size to, you know, conform to their mission.
No, it's simple. They're concerned with quality. You're concerned with the bottom line.
Yeah. I wouldn't characterize it like that. Yeah. We're also concerned with quality because we have a building that will have to be maintained into the future, which actually hits upon something that's very interesting in this regard, which is that, as you're quite aware, the inverse of what used to be true is now true, which is we actually have a market-driven reason to seek buildings which are have high R values and are lead in nature. We don't have a fiscal incentive to seek LEED certification. And you would be surprised and shocked to know how much it costs to have such a facility commissioned. You wouldn't be, but I think people on the street would be. Saving that commissioning money has produced, quite a bit of technology money for children and stand-up desks, which are obscenely expensive. I'll never recover, but that being said, a long short, apparently I can't help but talk for 5 to 6 minutes and answer any question. But you are right, Philip. There's no reason why there shouldn't be a memo or a draft set of priorities. I mean, and I'm pleased to hand those to the architect and say, hey, look, the Environmental Advocacy Committee has people on it that have particular expertise in this field, and as you design county projects in the future, please bear these principles in mind.
What do you think?
I think we just got some direction from some of the county's executive staff that we should
have a good
write that memo.
Enjoy yourself.
let me play devil's advocate, just because that's usually what I do. And I'm not an engineer, so let's just assume that you're not on the EAC forever, which is accurate, and there's not engineers always on the EAC. So do you foresee, Philip, in your viewpoint that would be a document that we would update, as the situation dictates, and if we don't have Philip Ellis on the committee, are we able to do that? Because you know what I'm driving at.
I do think that I could use your help on the Greenway stuff. If you've got a limited amount of like bandwidth here, I prefer that you use it over there. But
again, I can't. My bandwidth is limited, but that's not entirely related to Ryan's question.
No, that's just an aside.
The answer, I think it can be broad. It could be as broad as saying, "Hey, there's books, there's textbooks about how to do low impact development design." And any of these, that was my whole thing. Is like these consultants would love to have a little hook to say, "Well, we have this, and we have all kinds of people that are into low impact development and." Like, I'm just want to offer them a hook. We're not creating design guidelines.
I got you.
These are just aims towards
the
kind of development that we want to see. And we're not talking about a particular site. It's just the approach.
Okay. I follow you.
But we could also try to get an engineer on our committee.
That's true.
We're looking for certain expertise, and that could be one of them. And if we find another sucker, then good.
Well played.
Yeah. Anything else you need to tell me?
Just that. No, thanks for your opinion.
There you go. All right.
Well, I think that relates, and I don't want to run too long on this because I know it was Rachel's. Rachel was going to bring it, and she wanted me to table it since she couldn't attend this meeting. But since we've got a quorum, we can kind of talk at it at a high level, I would say. So just a couple of things that engineering has on their radar, not in the immediate future, not something we have to work on like this budget cycle or this fiscal year, but in the next maybe 12 months we'd start digging into, is a solid waste review. Apparently there's a plan that we've done that used to be required,
by the state and it's no longer required, but Marcus and Rachel would like our opinion, our thoughts, our energy around what a solid waste management plan could look like or should look like, what priorities we want to see in there. This could be things like recycling programs. This could be things like consideration for low impact. Another thing that's related to that and also the comprehensive plan, which is a little bit further out, is a resource conservation plan, something along those lines. But I think, based on what I know of what we've talked about around the low impact projects, that could be woven in there potentially. It's kind of like a sustainability plan, for lack of a better term.
You used a phrase, resource conservation?
Yeah, that was just something that Rachel and I were kicking around last week. It's really trying to describe, what do we want the commissioner staff to be thinking about as they're looking at, say, projects or programs, initiatives, you name it. Because our purview really is advising the commissioners from a citizen's perspective on what we want them to think about as priorities.
I am here as a human to advocate for that phrase, resource conservation. Particularly, I live in this county for its water resources,
sure.
Surface water. So flat water and white water, kayaking or whatever you want to do, swimming, fishing.
Yeah.
I think this is a jewel in the southeast. And there's other counties that are equally as good. But what would we do to that end?
I think we would.
So I'm saying I want to put my weight behind whatever you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to.
Well, I don't know that I could.
Any other thoughts?
I don't. That's about the brawn of what I've got right now. Just because I don't know, the timeline or if there's specific priorities or areas that Marcus and Rachel, want us to dig into. I just share that as information that we will be talking about. I think that, I think the committee has, we've been trying to find our foothold or our place, if you will, in some regards. We've written letters of support for greenways. We've talked about invasive species. We've talked about gardening projects. We've worked with the ESB from the city. I think this would be, our committee was originally the solid waste management committee. I don't think I have the words kind of not correct, but we were designed, that was our original mandate.
Planful committee.
Yeah. And so if you think about it, if staff isn't required to do it, but asking us essentially for what John has referenced, kind of like a guidance document, what could we help with, or what do we see as priorities for the community? I'm like you, Philip. I live here for the quality of life here and the resources. I think that's a way for us to really dig in and help. And I think all along the way, we've got to show to the commissioners and staff how we're adding value. To have 9 citizens sit here and say, well, we want to see this, or we don't want to see that, or we think you should give special consideration to these circumstances. I think those are some places that we could definitely help. I really can't remember what the possible wrap campaign is with the ESB. I suppose it's a vehicle, potentially, but I don't know.
It's in all caps, like it's an anagram.
Yeah. I don't know. So if I can...
I was getting ready to do with Google.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
So do you think we're going to end up meeting again in April?
I don't know.
I mean, we're not getting
too
much done today.
Yeah, we're not. We're kind of spinning our wheels to some degree.
It's like
that's definitely the challenge with not having, a mandate. I guess what we could do is if we have an idea of how we want to start the low impact guidance, if there's a way that you thought of, Philip, that we might get going on that. Do you have any ideas?
I I think I went to out to someone, but there's a very simple, it's like a softback book that I'm came to mind in mentioning low impact development techniques, and it's basically like a what would be a textbook for like a very like low level introduction, like a short course. It'd be like a short course textbook.
Gotcha. Okay.
So maybe if I could find that and people could like flip through it and have a better understanding of what I'm talking about. And it's the thing that comes to mind is like, you know, you have mantras for recycling. I forget what it is, but it's like reduce, reuse, recycle.
Right.
Like LID would have similar things. It's like for rainwater, it's slow it down, soak it in, and something else, like leave it on site.
Sure.
So that, and that's not, it's set up to be opposed to a traditional, like 1980s style stormwater management, which is get the water out, get the water out, get the water out.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, with all the phase two stormwater regulations that came in, it was, the spirit of that was, hey, like we've changed the landscape in a way that is degrading our water bodies. So an LID approach says, okay, how would this land act without any development on it? And let's try to recreate that with what? With all these tools that are at a designer's disposal.
So when you say low impact development, you're not thinking about necessarily how the development as a whole is laid out, clustered, or what. You're just
it does impact that.
But I'm hearing you say you're thinking about like a lot of the tools that they're going to use,
it's
like
both.
On site to deal with what they have.
It is both those things.
Okay.
So you would lay it out differently, and you would use different things. And it's common. A lot of it's common practice now. That's what I mean. Like giving those architects a hook to be like, oh, okay, yeah. I know that we did projects with y'all through the 90s and the 2000s that look like this. But like, oh, you're saying you do want this new wave of doing things. So, oh, that's fantastic. Let us actually put our best people on it to give you the best product. So I'm not trying to. That's my whole thing. Is I feel like when we were talking to the county engineer, it was as if I was trying to make things more expensive. It's like that's not it at all.
Right.
It's just making the consultant work harder. Like the end product, it may be more or less expensive. It's just designed a little bit differently.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Cause I agree. I was off base last time. I wasn't sure where we were driving towards. You know, what our target was. Okay.
Yeah.
Is an example what Publix is doing with their water?
That's 1980s style.
Okay.
So everything about what they've done, it's kind of hard for that site in particular, and them wanting to maximize the building, maximize the parking, doesn't leave room for anything else. Urban settings in general are difficult, but that's why I thought it was so ideal for the county to adopt something like this, because so many of their projects, so many of the things they do aren't necessarily in an urban setting to where it's so constrained by, you know, by land, and you have to fit all this impervious cover, like in this spot. But so one of the ways that it might change the actual layout of a site, what's an example? So you have a traditional way to do a stormwater pond would be like, you know, you design the stuff, the land falls this way, okay, we'll put a big basin down at the bottom, and an engineer designs that so it meets all the rules. The low impact development would tell you to, well, hang on, you can still do that, but let's make this pond a lot smaller, and let's distribute that volume out across the site in different areas. So instead of having $1 million pond, you've got a few $100,000 devices spread out throughout the site. And that has knock-on effects, because you still would meet the regulation, but the regulation only covers like specific criteria. So they can only regulate you for, you know, the 2-year and the 25-year storm. Can't look at anything else. And you know, engineers know that. Like everyone knows. So you're by distributing it, those kind of features across the site, you're gaining all this useful stuff like groundwater. It can discharge into the groundwater system much better, as opposed to being a big point source at the bottom. It's across the whole site. So it's a bunch of little things that it has effects on. So you're still meeting the criteria, but you're also hitting a lot of other bells that are good that have an effect on the environment.
So I wasn't at y'all's meeting. I'm trying to think about this in my head. Are you thinking about putting something together that could then be provided, like, to possible developers as options for them to think about? Because it doesn't sound like you're saying we should require that they do this, but...
I was envisioning, so the county has an architect on call, the folks that are doing the...
Yeah, Clark Nexus.
Clark Nexus, yeah. So the next time you call them to do a project, as part of the scope of work that you hand them, this is an addendum. Say, oh, here's something that our environmental advisory board would like to see incorporated into this. And it's not requiring them to do anything in particular, but you've got a clean slate when you have a new site. You're doing schematic design on something. But when you put pencil to paper on that, it's like every iteration, it gets more and more ingrained with all the stakeholders. So if before they do that, before anything goes on paper, before any stakeholders see something and start to have opinions, they can look at that and say, oh, an LID approach, pull out a different book off the shelf, and say, oh, okay, and then the first thing you see is an LID approach, possibly.
Yeah, makes sense.
So they just don't do that now. That's not a...
So my whole bent is I want to have this opinion that I have institutionalized so that whether I'm here or not, that document can exist, and Autumn can make sure it gets slipped into as an appendix to the scope of work given to Clark Nexon.
Mm-hmm. For county projects. Yeah, because, I mean, and the reason I asked that first question is we have something kind of similar with our community plan process where we try to start introducing the concept of design standards as far as, like, the facade of buildings, not these kind of things. And it's not for a requirement, it's just this community would like to see X, Y, and Z and have that communicated. So I think there's a piece of that with this, but you're thinking of more of a document that the EAC does requesting the county include this, not only their projects, but probably other projects, other private...
I wouldn't see any role for the county to give it to... I mean, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, that might be way down the road before that would be.
Well, I think you can communicate and have that out there because for the flip side, for the low impact development, looking at it from like purely a land use, like subdivision, forget the commercial stuff that's going to require some of the stormwater, just straight subdivision. We get this a lot from folks of, okay, well, we don't want you on the steep slopes. We don't really want you in the floodplain. We want you to figure out how to manage this. Be better if you'll cluster and not disturb some of this, but then there's the negative connotation with, okay, if you cluster, this feels really, really dense, and I don't like this. We've lost the feel. And so there's a balance between all of that that I think maybe what you're talking about might be able to help with in a really, really rural setting with what you'd find out there as a subdivision. But I don't know. Maybe I'm getting off base from what you're intending it to be.
I still don't see how that would work because when you say we don't, like you're posing a situation to where you're talking to a developer, landowners that are making deals about going through the subdivision process. And when you say, we don't like for you to build on steep slopes, we don't want you to, those are codified rules. Like, you're only allowed to be so dense on steep slopes. You're only allowed to build in floodplains so much. And then there's like different levels of like how you're allowed to build in the floodplain. But what I'm talking about, there is no codified language. That's why I thought it was only appropriate for the people that's actually doling out the money to say, hey, we kind of like this kind of design better than what we used to do in the 90s. But I don't see how we could post something on the page that has Natalie Berry's information. She could have a link to the document saying the county, you know,
encourages this, basically.
Really like this.
Imply that the permitting would go smoother if they're following this approach. But you see what I'm saying? Like, you can't force anyone to do anything about.
No,
And then, what I'm saying is that conversation you were posing where you're saying we like this and don't like that doesn't exist. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the developers do what they want unless they have to have permission. And they're only asking permission because they're not allowed to do what they want. So then they change their plan in order to fit within the codes.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
No, I totally get what you're traveling. We're trying to do the same thing in Laurel Park with subdivisions and commercial developments. Like, you have to have this many trees per square acre. I mean, trying to get that kind of stuff involved. But that's an ordinance. This is more of a guidance document of we prefer low-impact design whenever possible.
It could lead to an ordinance.
It could.
If it's that important,
mm-hmm.
learn it and then make it an ordinance.
I don't know if it could lead to an ordinance. Like, you're getting into General Assembly stuff. We'd have to ask a lawyer if that could even lead to an ordinance. Because
where do ordinances come from?
There's local ordinances, but everything. I hear the word home rule state thrown around a lot, and I've never really understood why the General Assembly has so much control over all the municipalities' rules, but they knock stuff out. Stuff gets taken to court all the time, and they throw it out.
Hmm.
So that'd be something to consult. Is there a county attorney, or do y'all have one?
Yeah.
So if we wanted to pursue that, we'd want to get him to write us a memo about what that would. Like, we'd want to give him our idea, and then he would have to critique it and help us craft what that would actually be. And then that's presuming that the leaders would buy into it. So
yeah.
I would be real careful saying that we're thinking about doing anything related to ordinance.
No, but
yeah.
Yeah.
It could lead. I mean, if it's a great idea.
So there's a huge difference.
Not yet, not today. But
when you create an ordinance, there's got to be a standard and a metric to measure something.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm proposing that we write is something that is inherently does not have a metric. There's no way to measure and say, are you following this? It's putting the onus on the architect to say, oh, I know what these people are talking about. They start, having those creative juices flowing. But if you came back to it and said, did you follow this to a T? The pornography thing comes to mind. It's like, when you see it, but for an ordinance, you have to have a way to take someone to court and say, here's the standard, here's the equation, X does not equal Y, you are in violation.
And the difference is the architect that works for the county gets the benefit of producing a better product that the county is happy with, which improves his relationship with the county and potential future relationships and things like that. The developer in the private sector doesn't have that. They view rules and ordinances as
barriers.
Yeah, and I live in this world of consulting, and you have various tiers of people that do work, development, like this, that kind of design consulting type work, and you have the folks that they knock down barriers. That's what they do. That's all they do. Knock down barriers for developers. No consideration of anything else. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people that are incredibly high-minded design, and somewhere in the middle there is probably where Clark Nexen is, and they probably have people on this side and on this side. So when everything is always driven by, give me the cheapest thing, if everything's driven down to cost, it kind of demands that you hand the baton to this guy, and he just drives through barriers, keep consulting fees down, figure out that it's like cheapest everything. Whereas if you have a way to involve these guys in some fashion, these guys being the ones that are a little bit high-minded, that's where in the schematic design, this idea gets developed, and it can actually be latched onto by people who otherwise would not have seen or approved of that idea. Instead, all they ever see is the 1990s, 2002 style of silent development and knocking down barriers and just barely meeting all the, you know, the metrics that are written in the ordinance, as opposed to, you know, what could be. I don't remember why I was on such a long soliloquy. Sorry.
Well, some states are more aggressive with this low impact. How did they get to be that way?
Necessity, I would assume, but
Massachusetts.
It also depends on the mindset of who the clients and all that is, mm-hmm. because I've been one of those guys that that did both. And you have clients that come in and they're like, we want to do this and this is kind of what we want. And we, you know, and I, because I worked in wetlands permitting, and, you know, we can make suggestions. Here's what the rules are, you know, and you can do it like this and maybe it'll go a little smoother, you know, because you've done with the right thing, quote unquote, or whatever that happens to be. But then you have other clients, and it's just the way it is. You have other people that they don't do craps about what the, you know, they want you to get the permit. This is what we're going to do. Get us the permit.
Yeah, I guess so. That's at the core of what I'm suggesting.
And the county has as a client, has the ability to, if they're working on county projects, I think that's what you're saying, is that they have the ability to be that client that says, we want this nice product, and we're willing to invest whatever it is in it to get this nicer product.
Long-term versus
quality of life.
Quick and dirty.
And some of that has to do with being a government entity versus a for-profit and things like that. I mean, it gets complicated.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Presently, the architect, he is designing based on, he's given a scope of work that says, we need this, like a school to handle 1,000 kids. And they say, okay, that's it? Where's the piece of land? Okay. All right, we'll start doing that. And then the next thing they do, the only other constraint they're given are the regulations, the minimum metrics that have been codified. And all I'm saying is we can give them something else that says, hey, we like these ideas that mm-hmm. are in this low-impact development design.
And lots of times engineers and architects and consultants and all those people, if you say something like that, they get kind of excited because then they get to sort of get outside the box and mm-hmm. start using some creative juices and do some mm-hmm. interesting things. I mean, in my experience.
Yeah, totally.
Somebody comes in and says, "We, you know, this is a priority for us, you know, or we're willing to do this because, for whatever reason," and we're all,
yeah.
Do you think this is a letter that you're thinking about that would go to the commissioners requesting that they consider this as a policy in all of their projects moving forward? I'm trying to figure out, like,
yeah,
what is it you actually present to them?
That's a good question. I don't know.
There has to be something to have that conversation.
Something that allows you to slide mm-hmm. it in as an appendix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, can we not write it as a document and then attach it, a letter to it, requesting that we include this document?
That was one of the reasons I asked if there was, like, examples that you could use, but there probably are examples, but it's probably more on a project-by-project to look at, right?
Yeah, so
what you can and can't do, but there's probably some guiding principles out there for alternatives that could be considered on various types of construction projects, maybe. Maybe you even want to, like, break it down by type of projects. I don't know, type of capital projects, because I'm sure a school has a much different setting than an office building, like a courthouse.
Yeah, what I'm talking is like
very, very
backed up from that. And it's just a preferred design approach, the LID approach. Okay. Like, instead of schematic design and bringing all the water to one spot, think about distributing it among the site. And
here's how.
If you're doing a school, can you program in outdoor classrooms that incorporate rain gardens? Or, you know, what, like, those devices count towards the metrics that you have to meet, you know, if you were to do it what I'm saying is the old way.
Yeah.
I think you maybe ought to spend some time over your next couple of meetings kind of just doing some research and as a committee educating yourself about what these things look like and everything. So if, say, once it goes on, if a commissioner approached, you know, Liz specifically or somebody and said, tell me about this, what is this, that you could at least kind of feel comfortable maybe talking about it, because I think you're kind of there, you know it.
Yeah.
But I think for everybody else to really kind of grasp and kind of see it, maybe have some speakers, maybe Natalie, maybe somebody else. I don't know if there's somebody in the consultant ward that could come and do, like, a quick presentation. I think that might be helpful. to do, and then that way when you've got a good grasp of what the concept is, then you can work on what the language is and what the right approach is. Rachel can lead you through that.
I thought of another good example. I'm going to use Ingalls' site as an example, but I don't mean this as Ingalls, the builder of the site. So if the county had an idea where they needed a warehouse that they needed to build that was much, and they needed the same, they had the same constraints that Ingalls has. They needed that same parking, they needed that same building. This document would provide those people with something in writing that says, if the constraints of the project, if our program is going to require you to like alter this stream in a way that creates what presently is at Ingalls, a 1,000 linear feet of riprap bank when it used to be a vegetated resource of the county, then maybe this site doesn't fit for this program, or maybe the program needs to be reduced so that the site can, so that we don't have to impact waters of the U.S.
Are you meaning Ingalls or Publix?
Publix, yeah. But so that's what I mean. So like, then that architect, they would be doing that, and what Publix did is they gave it to the guy that knocks down barriers. They said, I don't care how many engineers it takes, we're going to figure out a way to fit this on this piece of property. Whereas the county could say, hey, if it comes to that, and we're having to widen the stream, and you know, possibly could make flooding worse down, like, this is something that we don't, you know, how about this document from the Environmental Advisory Committee that says, we prefer not to impact waters of the U.S. We prefer to follow a low-impact development approach. So it's like, then the designer can bring that to the stakeholders, the county, people that are making these decisions, and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. I know that y'all don't like when you have impacts to the environment in this fashion, and they can explain what's going to happen and what they're having to do. Then people that are accountable, the commissioners or the executive staff of the county, can say yes or no at that point. As opposed to just letting the consultant run with it and knock down barriers, because yeah. I know how that Publix thing works. Like, you fiddle with it and design it, and you end up with that crap that's back there, as opposed to...
It was vegetated before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sort
of. Floodplain, yeah. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of issues.
Beautiful riprap. Lovely.
One thing I missed last time and this time, Wikipedia apparently says low impact design just has to do with land use, and it talks about particularly managing stormwater runoff as part of green infrastructure, emphasizing conservation, blah blah. So it's a small part, it seems to me, but an important part, I don't mean it's not, of what this committee does. And it's kind of like last time you and Chris were going to take this and go, and I think John Mitchell's saying, yeah, take it and go. But there are other things that this committee's interested in too, like using native plants and pollinator friendly and the beet, you know, all of that is something that I'm just saying this is important, and if this is a way to start getting the commissioners used to hearing suggestions from us, I think it's great. But I think there's a lot more that our committee can suggest too.
Certainly. So I've been, this whole conversation has revolved around low impact development, but really that's not the only thing that could go in this memo. I just saw, I mean, we see every year the county puts money into capital improvements that involve land.
Sure.
So, you know, whatever, that's what I'm saying, like our, whatever we think should be done with that land, I mean, could be, if it can be incorporated into the program that they are paying to have put on that piece of land, then that can be included. Whether it's native plants or...
Well, and even with road design, try to talk them into putting bikeways and greenways and whatnot along every time they do a road, like I was out of town, so didn't get to the Balfour Parkway thing, but we've got widening 191 coming up, too. There's just all sorts of things we could do, but it seems to me that you've got an interest and expertise in this, and this should maybe be project one, and we should stop talking and do it, except there are only a few of us who have the actual expertise and knowledge to do it.
Hmm.
And that's like the two of you and not the three of us.
Yeah. Well.
So how could we help if the committee decides to do this? What
I
can
think
the rest of us do?
I don't disagree with you, Jan, but I also think Autumn made a good point earlier about all of us studying up on this subject,
yeah.
Because we really, this would be a change of position to some degree. Before, we've been passive, I would say.
Absolutely.
We've filtered letters up, and they've gone to the commissioner's desk. It's not something they voted on. This would be something there would be discussion, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
At a board meeting, you know, it would probably be as many of us as possible to say, you know, Mr. Commissioners, I think this is important because of X, Y, and Z, you know, spending your 2 minutes at the podium. I think that just helps it raise the priority to them.
I mean, we can't change regulation or anything. All we can do is try to change their mindset.
Sure, sure.
Well, I don't think this would change regulation. It's just getting them to acknowledge it's a priority as they move forward.
Yeah, what values are
yeah.
And depending on what comes out of your discussion, you may want to consider at the end of this, whatever's barred on, that you send that to your counterpart in the city. Because a lot of these developments are done in the city limits and they're under their own rules and regulations. And is it possible to do some of these designs within the constraints of their ordinance? Because I think that becomes a real question, you know, with the ordinance, that they're so strenuous to meet this standard, but it doesn't allow you the opportunity to look at some other alternative to help offset that sometimes.
Sure.
But that might just be like a step down for you.
Well, I also think we could broaden this as much as we see fit. I mean, we could talk about things like energy efficiency, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about things like
recycling.
Yeah, I mean, any of that kind of stuff could be added in there. And
or
it's
you
just
could just create separate documents that we add
sure,
in.
Sure,
sure.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we one of two things: we produce a piece of paper this day, and the answer's
right.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
And besides,
or
that
we go down the dark rabbit
long.
Hole that we can't get out of.
Yeah. No, I think we're better off if this is the kind of thing we'd like the committee to do, and it does seem more important than some of the things we've done over the last year.
I mean, it sounds to me like you're thinking about it
started.
That everybody should be good stewards, and that should probably start with the county, serving as the example of that on projects. At least of what we can control. We can't control developers in the private sector and the wants, because you're right.
Yeah,
the developer wants what they want a lot of times when they come in. But
that example starts to drive the market after a while. I mean, we've all sat in here, and how many other people are we now outside the room that say that they moved here because of the environmental quality of life, you know, whether they're doing bikers or kayakers or fishermen or whatever. And so after a while, I mean, the private sector, private markets will follow whatever the demand is.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I, like, this is, by definition of my role on this committee, my bailiwick is the county's bailiwick. Like, that's what I'm here to talk about and do. And so I'm just following things I'm interested in and that I want to see. And so as a citizen, taxpayer, whatever you want to call me, person that volunteers to serve in this role, this is what I would like for my county to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters, right?
Basically. And that is our mandate. That's why we're appointed by the commissioner. So I think we just have to decide, you know, that there's the review process of what we want to dig into and how we feel about it, and then we just make a plan. There's plenty of ways to slice it. We could do successive documents, but I think, you know, from my purview, I see I'm not on the engineering side, but I'm on the business development side in the county. You know, banking is essentially that, and so I can see the need for not reducing or controlling the growth, but just trying to guide it a little bit effectively. So I agree. I think that's everything I've read that it's not going to slow down anytime soon. I think that goes along. I would be in support, I guess, is what I'm saying, of moving forward with a low impact design document.
Study. So you mentioned that you might be able to find some of these things. Are they online, or are they just?
As a bare minimum, I will provide everyone on this committee with some texts, some links. In over the next week, I'll.
I write up an email. I may have an intro LID textbook at the office. Too.
You think you had?
Okay.
There's one in particular that I'm thinking of that I wish
I can't remember.
I wouldn't have lent away, but it's black and it's so perfect.
No, this is like a little book, and
it's a little black.
I was thinking about teaching an LID class at one time, and I haven't been able to get the time to do it yet. But I ordered it to review, so I've got it at the office.
When you look at it, shoot me the title of it so I can see it. Maybe that.
I'm going to.
It's the same one.
Okay, good luck, Philip.
I'm curious about, I love this old house, and I watch those guys building in Massachusetts, and they talk about so many regulations and ordinances that are true in Massachusetts that are not true here. Very, very strict guidelines for any construction. And I would be interested in researching why that's the case. What happened in Massachusetts that isn't happening here?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a direction to go in. And sometimes those ordinances or whatever they're called, I don't know.
You're talking about actual structures, though?
Yeah, like yeah.
Pretty much everything that that a municipality would enforce, a county or a town, are all based on the, I forget the name of it, but it's like a national building code that
okay.
they all reference.
NA?
Yeah, yeah.
SB? NA? Something?
That's the one.
Not it.
It's something like that, yeah. So.
But if they go above and beyond that,
yeah, so I guess
I'd like to know why. How'd that happen?
So the question for you would be, what exactly are you talking about? Because everywhere I've gone, that's what makes like civil site development so much different than like the actual building and inside. So you give them, say, we need a program for 1,000 students, and like you design the building, and there's not like there's a lot of artistry that can go into that, but it's the rules are very, very straightforward. Whereas with stuff on the land, there's like a couple metrics that you have to follow, and the way you can get to answering those is so bunch of different ways. It's a lot less straightforward than like following this national building code. it's inherently, you know, clean slate when you approach any piece of land, because all the rules are always different, and the way you get to an answer on the regulations that you're required to follow are they're different for every piece of land. Yeah. So whatever you're talking about with the building, I don't know figure out what the difference is between Massachusetts and here, and we just have to look at it.
Well, I would look at your low impact development material, and then.
I mean, it's Massachusetts. It's a
different world.
It's a different
up
people.
There.
I mean, not good or bad. I mean, I'm just saying that.
Sure.
It's different states, different topography, different
but
issues.
But their desire for maintaining the natural world as much as possible is very similar to ours. I'm just wondering if they've gotten ahead of us, and we could learn from there.
And a lot of it may be that their state allows them to do more than our state does. North Carolina is very unique in many ways when we talk about, I mean, that's what Philip's talking about, kind of have a sort of a set bar that they set, and, you know, we're kind of always governed under that, but this is a property rights state.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is local governments may be able to set more strict rules than the state, and that's allowed. That's not allowed in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how, that's what I meant, we have to consult a lawyer, but if you make something that's more strict than the state standard, it's liable to get knocked down by the state judiciary.
Yeah, Flat Rock has a logging ordinance for a setback. We tried to get people to not log, but the state takes precedent.
Sure, sure.
Forestry management.
Yeah.
Well, they delegate all that now. That's all technically delegated authority. So they can take that delegated authority away. I mean, that's the way it works in the federal government all the way down. I mean, most of those things are delegated. So the state delegates the stormwater control program to county, but they can take it back, or the cities for phase two or whatever, and they can take it back if they don't get the bill or anything. I mean, I've been involved in it. I actually accidentally started. Made that happen one time. I didn't mean to.
Well, I'd be interested in learning more, however you want us to pursue it.
Yeah,
we can Google around on our own, but if you guys know what are good ones,
then yeah. Could you send me that book that you have? This would be very easy for me to pull together an email with a short summary of like the spirit of what I'm talking about, and we can discuss it at the next meeting via email. Maybe turn that into a more formal memorandum and edit it. While we meet next time.
Yeah. Sounds like a good plan.
I'm under a time constraint. Do we have any other business other than talking about when we're going to meet next?
Well, the only other thing we had from our last meeting was we had talked a little bit around invasives. I don't know, Liz, if you had anything, because that was something that we had talked about but hadn't really had direction on. The other thing outside of that is Bee City. I just can give you an update. So the process is going to take longer than Rachel and I expected, because we have to have some rules that the county is following to make it more pollinator friendly, and I think we have to wait. Rachel said there's some rules around maintenance and things that she's trying to find the opportune time to put those in, and she's got Grady Hawkins' support, but it again, just trying to find the timing. So I don't know that we'll become a bee community or be able to put an application in this cycle. It may be something we work towards a later year. So that's really it on that one. So I think this is really all we have today. If you don't mind, to work on that. And I think it's something we can dig into. I was going to mention the sustainability plan is what we called it before when I first got on the EAC in 2014. It really didn't survive conversation back then, more of a guidance document. But I think we have a good group of folks, and it could get revived. It's a good time to revive it, and maybe some of these things we're talking about could get weaved in. I'm happy to pull a copy and email it to everybody from our last conversation. It was just a draft form. I think it was maybe 10, 20 pages, but high level.
20 pages?
I haven't looked at it in a few years. More than a few years.
What was it about?
I don't even remember. I mean, we got stuck in things like air quality. Like what?
Yeah.
You know,
what was it toward? Like it was just.
He was kind of all over the road.
didn't have a thesis statement for this 20-page document?
I can't remember. Yeah, I think that was like my first two meetings. We pretty much got gutted, and I don't know what happened to it.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe don't send it.
Okay.
Well, you could find it and read it yourself and see if you think there's value to it.
Didn't survive the first time, so maybe it's not a good idea to try to do CPR on it.
There may be some value in seeing what was discussed before.
But there,
so that we don't go there.
There were different people and a different value on the committee.
Well, whatever we're doing is going to be a very, very clear and concise message.
Like, that's key.
Like bullet points and a very short, one page, can't be more than a page.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, no one wants to read through 10 pages of stuff.
Yeah.
No.
I could be wrong, but I remember being a longer document. It seemed like it was like the comp plan, just like a heavier.
I remember seeing it, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Find it and see what you think.
I don't know.
Yeah, the whole point of my idea is to spur someone else to do a lot of work, mm-hmm. like not us. that, because, I mean, come on, yeah.
All right. Anything else for the good of the group today?
When do we meet next?
My calendar says 3 months from now.
Yeah, June 7th.
June 7th.
Wow, June. Yeah.
Be here before you know it.
Nothing scheduled in June.
Would you be interested in my writing a letter of recommendation to send to the commissioners about event invasives?
Sure. Yeah.
And you all can just review it and see what you want. If you like it, if you hate it, if you want to add to it.
Yeah.
Because the longer...
Maybe, and maybe it gets parlayed into... I mean, there's site plans that get submitted and approved that have, like, weird non-native plants in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, I think that's low-hanging fruit to go in this kind of... We prefer plants native to Henderson County. Like,
mm-hmm.
duh. Like,
well, you don't want to be that narrow.
Well, okay, yeah, but you see what I'm saying.
We
but
still like the red button.
But again, it's a guideline. It's not... It just shows them the spirit of what we... Of,
you know,
of like
we don't want Oriental bittersweet.
yeah.
You know, just
yeah.
native to Henderson County, there might be two species.
I would suggest this is getting into ordinance stuff, but if that's something you're pretty passionate about and the committee wants to look at it at a later meeting date, I think you ought to look at the Land Development Code because we have in there under our landscaping sections and we list species that we actually... Back in 07, we were doing that. We had a landscape architect look at, but maybe you need to put some eyes on it again and see if there's some things on there that shouldn't be on there.
Can you direct me to that? On a
mm-hmm. It's on the website.
Land Development Code?
Uh-huh. When you go to the main county website, there's a link to county codes, and it's one of those. It's Chapter 42, Land Development Code. But the
Chapter 42.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
We're 42. Land Development Code's 42. But anyway, that might be something to look at because I think that could be, you know, text amendment if there's some more behind it. That's not a big deal.
And I want to say one last time. The key to my idea is not making anybody do anything. Like that's
not voluntary.
Yeah.
Encouragement.
Yeah. It's here's like that's the whole point is we're paying someone to like have ideas and do some good design. And all this is doing is, like, we're giving them more information from the county.
Can you sign this real quick before you go?
Yeah.
Do you need a pen?
Yeah, sorry, I'm giving all this body language. I gotta get out of here.
Okay.
You're good. Does anybody else have any other comments, suggestions for us?
Thanks.
I did get the Flat Rock Council to start a mechanical control program.
Nice.
A what control?
Instead of just spraying.
Thanks, Philip.
What control?
Mechanical.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes.
Good. Thanks for sitting with us all.
Sure.
Thanks for being here. So we'll call it adjourned at 4:15.
It's easier to work at the